Blog Talk Radio.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Well, shalom, shalom. It's time for Late Night in the Word. It's 11:30. This is Olive Branch Ministries coming to you from Acworth, Georgia. And again, you're tuned in to Late Night in the Word. My name is Pastor Keith. And every Thursday and Saturday night, we do a radio program for the listening audience about the scriptures. We study and review things that our ministry is discussing, our pastor Richard Weintraub is teaching in the midst of our Bible studies here in Acworth, and we love to discuss anything. If you're listening, we are on Blog Talk Radio right now for the next half hour, and you can call in with any questions. Any thoughts, prayer requests? We'd love to hear from you. Anything that you're thinking about in terms of Israel and what's going on in the world right now. We know that Benjamin Netanyahu won his election this week, which we thank God for, because the alternatives are dismal, to say the least. And especially in terms of what the world is doing, our president in particular, and his evil and wicked ways, the things he's decided to do, which really no other president has ever done. Read an article this morning saying that he and his administration have decided, since Benjamin Netanyahu, by an overwhelming majority of his own citizens, decided that they wanted him to be president, have decided they're going to go to the UN to push Israel around and make them and force them to comply with the world's opinion of what should happen. And I think what's going to end up happening is the Lord is going to judge that situation, because you can't violate the scriptures. God said that he was going to bless Abraham and curse anyone that would curse him. So I think the president of this country needs to reconsider his options. Maybe he doesn't believe in the Bible or the people of Israel, which by his actions we know that that's the case. But he would do well to heed the warning that the living God gave Abraham about how he would back him up in this life. And to say that also, just to put out a very concerned warning to all of us in the church, especially in this country, to wake up, because the rest of the world is going through trials and tribulations, and it would appear that the Christianity of this country is more concerned with being blessed and how to establish a life here, how to rotate around finances and all the things that you need to do to have a blessed life. And the Christians of this world, outside of the borders of this country, are suffering and dying for their faith. And the Jewish people are being corralled and persecuted at every level, on every border. The only safe place they seem to have is Israel at this point. And I think it's important to keep in mind that Jesus said some very interesting words in his final moments in Luke. And I think it might be good for us to just read this really quick. We talk about salvation on this program. And the more I am walking with God and time goes by and we see the warfare that we see, the more I know that the devil is working overtime with people to cause them to be unconcerned and unaware. And I say that with all seriousness. The whole focus of the devil is to capture you. And in Jesus's final moments, he's in the Mount of Olives, and let me see if I can find this here. They've entered into the mount, and he has gone aside to pray, and he is sweating blood and praying and asking the Father different, asking different questions. But he has something to say to the disciples. And in verse 40 and 41 of Matthew 26, it says, "He cometh unto the disciples and finds them asleep and says unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And there's a powerful reality here when it comes to being aware of the kingdom purpose. And I think maybe in hindsight, we like to look at this and say, well, you know, if Peter and the disciples are there and they understood really what Jesus was getting ready to go through, that they would have watched and prayed just like all of us would have been so super spiritual. We would have been able to stay up and do what we're supposed to do. But I think this is a moment where Jesus is not just addressing a fatigue of the body. Jesus is addressing an attitude. And it's an attitude that Paul has to address, and I think the Holy Spirit addresses it over the course of the last 2,000 years. And I think he's trying to address it right now, but the mentality today is really to be asleep. And this mentality is the opposite of what we've been saved for. And we're not fully comprehending something that I think we really need to pay attention to. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. We read this earlier tonight, and it sparked me. I think one of the things that we've unfortunately done with salvation is we've categorized it a particular way, and it's caused it to be a shallow version of what was intended. In verse 28, what does that say, Avery?
"There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus."
Read the next one.
"And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise."
Now, when we read this, this is a mystery, and I don't think too many people know what to do with it, because I think the intellectual, theological mind is trying to comprehend it and gives it a good answer and has a lot of really good philosophical words to attach to it. But I don't want to talk to you philosophically, and I don't want you to think philosophically, because that's the error of the Greek way. It's the error of the Roman reality. The error of the Western world is that because I think I am, and I think because we think we're deceived. And that's really the reality. The Greeks were wrong. I think, therefore, I am is a falsity. It's a lie. There's only one thing that makes anything, anything, and that's God spoke. And so the only thing I really I need to understand is, what did he say?
Amen.
And everything else is either a lie waiting to happen or a lie already conceived and being purposed. So when we read this, you really need to look at it honestly and say, do I understand what Paul is really trying to accomplish? Verse 26. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Or we're all the children of God because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. His faithfulness, and now where he's seated, because of his work, you have access. And because of your belief in his work and his accomplishment, where he is seated, you've become sons. And then 27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Paul says it a different way in Romans 6. If you've been baptized with him, then you've been baptized into his death. Another hard saying that many of us just drive right by. It's a theological truth, a theological nugget of knowledge, but it's not a reality. What does it mean to actually be baptized into his death? And Paul's saying, okay, I can point to these identities. There's a Jew and there's still a Greek. And there's a bond and there's a free. There's a slave and still a free person. And there is a male and female. Obviously, I'm a male, and there's a lot of females who listen to this program. So what are we talking about? Is Paul saying that all the human realities have been done away with? Well, we know this isn't true, because since he said this, there's been a lot of slavery and a lot of slave owners, and there's been a lot of males and females born, and there's been a lot of Jewish people and Greek people born that are on the earth and thinking and doing what they do. So what is it that Paul's really saying? He's pointing at something that we've been trying to bring out in this program, which is the change. And Paul speaks about that change for himself in the book of Galatians. He even says, I'm a man who has a great resume of my humanity. And so, you know what? There's a lot of people that have listened to this program who have a great resume of humanity. Then a lot of great people on the earth who have a great resume of humanity. But it's not the resume of humanity that causes anything to happen, because the resume of humanity has a point of death. It doesn't matter who you are in your humanity, everyone dies. So your resume only lasts so long, and then what do you have? If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything after that moment. In Christ Jesus, we now have something we can point to, we can look at, we can see. And it's called a future moment of joining Jesus in the reality of the heavens. And though he's there and we're here, we have now what we're going to have then. It's not the fullness as we would like then, because then we won't have the human weakness of the broken flesh. We'll have the fullness of our new creation as we sit with him and rule with him and reign with him. But we do have access to that whole reality right here, right now. And Paul is so adamant about this. He teaches it in numerous different ways, trying to help us see the new imagery of our new existence. And it's the person who's walking in the new existence that makes tracks, who creates problems for the kingdom of darkness, who has authority and power, who moves and breathes, walks in the kingdom and demonstrates with great, great authority, has a tenaciousness for the gospel and a purpose and love for the living God and his son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, wants nothing of this world anymore. He's done looking into this earth. And there's many moments in this Bible where the vision of a person was challenged by God, and they either held onto the vision or they exchanged that vision for what God was offering them. And this is the full reality that we're trying to accomplish. This is what we're trying to move towards. It's what the living God is purposing. You know, when we start talking about this, the problem with most of us is we have eyeballs. And so I say there's something unseen. In Hebrews 11, there's a verse here. And these are things that we all take for granted. We think we understand them, but we don't understand them. Because bottom line, you can't escape Romans 6. If you're baptized with Christ, you're baptized into his death. And therefore you're dead and you're buried and you're gone. And the resurrection life, that part of Philippians 2:5, let this mind be which in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In order for that to take place, there has to be a death and a burial and a resurrection into something fresh. In Hebrews 11, the freshness of what we have now is in verse 1.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made from things which do appear.
Now, here's the amazing thing. If I go down to 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So I have to please God with things I can't see and move in things that I don't understand, which are only discerned by the Holy Spirit and are only available to the spiritual man, not to my physical man. And so many of us are traveling in our lives in the physical man, and we think that's pleasing to God. But right here, this person, whoever spoke this or wrote it, is saying there's only one way to please God, and that's to operate within the confines of his defined reality through his son, Jesus Christ. There is nothing else.
This is a gospel about God, and his character has a lot to do with this. And if we don't have faith, then we're really showing how we see his character.
Now, I have to share this because we learned something last night that we're doing a work with a particular person, and found this person was speaking with a demon, and this demon was confessing that its goal was to lead this person back into what this demon called Babylon. He called it Babylon the Great. And we know that Babylon is in the book of Revelation, and it's the great whore, the great harlot. And that harlot is, by many people's estimation, the Roman Catholic Church. But you could argue back and forth on that one. I think what this demon said after that was that it's the spirit of religion. And religion is a very powerful deception. A person can believe they're hearing from God and not even open up a Bible and be consumed with the idea that they're hearing God, but have no idea that the voice that they're hearing, because it doesn't have an agreement with what is in the scriptures, it's a contrary voice. And therefore the person, though they think they're talking to God, is actually talking to demon spirits of the earth who are become angels of light. And they're actually convincing the person that they're having a communication with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I say that to say this, there's a lot of warfare right now, and there is a powerful delusion that is coming upon the world, and I would definitely say upon the church. And this isn't trying to be judgmental about anybody or any pastor, because I've heard it come out of other pastors' mouths that they're seeing the delusion as well, and they're losing people out of their churches that have been in their churches 40, 50 years. And they're falling away and walking away from Jesus. And that's a powerful statement. We're living in deceived times, and people are being captured by the devil's will. They're being led astray by the vain imaginations of their own soul. And when we start talking about that, you have to start to pay attention, because the enemy, if you're a person of faith, if you're an acknowledger of Jesus Christ, you're an acknowledger of the blood of the Lamb, if you're acknowledging that He is the Son of Man, the Son of God, come in the flesh to accomplish His salvation and redemption for all of humanity, if you can see that that's the case, and you understand that's who He is, you are a target. You are under the microscope of the devil's program, and every ounce of capacity that he has and all of the angels of hell have is going to be directed at you to either, one, take your life, or number two, stop the life of Jesus that is growing in you. And he's going to use stimulations and atmosphere and electrical signals and anything that he can to rob you of not your knowledge. He could care less what kind of knowledge you have. You can know 1,001 things about salvation. You could know 10,000 times more stuff than I will ever know in my whole life about salvation, and the devil is not going to be worried about you. It's not what you know. It's what you do with what you know. You hear that? Because in Jesus' time, and in the time of the Old Testament, God was very clear in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 11 that the parents were to train their children in the way they should walk. He didn't say, train your children so they're super smart when they grow old and they can regurgitate a bunch of information about my Torah. Like so many Christians today want to be convinced that God is absolutely overjoyed that they send their children to secular colleges to get instructed and trained in the ways of this secular world that is believing, that is really the ambassador for the devil. That's not what God intended. God intended to build righteous men and women who uphold His holiness. And we spend more time educating ourselves in the ways of the world than we do in the righteous holiness of our God, who promised to Abraham such mighty deeds and mighty things and fulfilled them. And He did. And He is currently fulfilling promises that He made to Abraham. And He's fulfilling a lot of promises that He made to a lot of different people in the Bible right now. Promises that He made to the body of His Son in the New Testament are being fulfilled right now, just 2 weeks ago. And if you're paying attention to the signs, you might be amazed at what you're seeing, because we're in a very unique moment. And I really truly believe that the necessity of what Jesus was saying to Peter in the garden when he said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, was broader than just, hey, you're getting tired, stand up and jump around and make sure you don't fall asleep, because the sleep is the temptation. I think what Jesus was really saying to Peter is, at any moment, at every single moment, you have to be aware of how the pressure of the secular world, the atmosphere of the demonic world, is pushing on you to not consider the spiritual moed of the moment, the appointed time that God has designed for this moment, and to consider instead the natural reality of your flesh and its needs. in salvation, the entire purpose of salvation is to cut you off from those natural needs and put you in scenarios and in situations and really reform and restore and transform you into someone who is not susceptible. Hear me on that. You're not susceptible anymore to the lie of the devil that the world has something to offer you. And this is our problem. We believe the world has something to offer us. Beautiful sunset has something to offer. A storm has something to offer. Wind and rain has something to offer. The closest mall has something to offer. A long traveling vacation has something to offer. All these things are there presenting themselves. A husband, a wife, children, a house, theater and movies and new cars and all the electrical gadgets you could ever fathom. Money, savings. How many different things does the human heart lust after that the devil has convinced us we need? And that's what he's doing. He's convincing most of us that we need something out of this life. And so we're trying to grab onto it. And those who are smarter around us try to warn us, you don't need that. You're now set apart in the heavenlies. You're set apart in the heavenlies when you need to hold on to that. And I think the Holy Spirit is right now attempting to challenge all of us in the places where we're still blind to our natural affection, the affection that we have for this earth. And one of the greatest honesties we can start to say is, I did get captured. I do like this world. And my soul has become very knit to this world. And I think there's a lot of people who have decided that the world and the gospel can be formulated together, placed together, tied together, and therefore tie them together. I have now a qualification that I can speak to myself about why it's okay to have an affection for something in the world. That's not what we're saved for. We're saved for something much higher, something much more glorious. And I think we're going to weep. Because I think when we finally see and we finally have a proper, accurate vision for Jesus, when we fully understand who he is, we're going to look at the things that we valued and the time we put into those things, and we're going to grieve with a grieving that we can't even comprehend. Because we exchanged something in this life for the most glorious gospel. We said, I think it's more important to me that I am married, or I think it's more important to me to have a bunch of money instead of prioritizing Jesus. I think it's going to be on and on and on and on. I think some will say, my parents, I could not let go of my parents in order to follow Jesus. I couldn't let go of my really cushy job because I couldn't imagine not having it and still following Jesus. So I gave up on Jesus to keep my job. I like the head on my shoulders. And that's a big one. Most of us like the head on our shoulders. And we're not yet ready to face. And we're in the last few moments of our time with Blog Talk. Thank you for listening. If you're still here, you can join us at www.olivebranchonline.org. Thank you for listening.